Hello, welcome to the Spotlight. My name is Irene Lasu, and on this edition on our Spotlight today, we have Nicholas Tamati from Ghana, 39 years old and married with two kids. Nicholas is a trained chemical engineer with the supply chain. He said BSc Chemical Engineering, read Supply Chain Management, took a course in step changing cells and operations planning, and currently studying a Master's of Business Administration at the University of Suffolk in the UK. Well, Tamati has a fruitful working experience, served as a production engineer right before coming to South Sudan, where he is working as the head of logistics in a company in Ghana. Currently in UNMISS, Nicholas is serving as a supply chain assistant at the transport warehouse in Juba. Nicholas is adventurous. He loves to travel, watching movies and swimming during the weekends. Nicholas, welcome to the Spotlight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. So let's speak about you and your life here in South Sudan before we get to know about all the other things. So you came to South Sudan. What was the feeling like the first day you arrived or reported to work?
I think there were some mixed feelings at the airport.
Why?
I think it was new. Uh-huh. I've been to East Africa a couple of times, but not in South Sudan. So I was just expecting to see the same kind of feeling I got in Nairobi, Rwanda, those places that I had visited earlier. But I think it was quiet here when I got here the first time. But I got a good reception by the team that picked me up at the airport.
Right.
And once I got company from the UN, I settled in. Yeah.
Right. Just out of curiosity, though, what was different with Kenya, Nairobi, and what you found
here? I think the airports were busier than here.
Oh.
And for me, for the first experience, I had to walk long distance from the plane to where they were checking our documents before giving us entry. So that was a little different.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Was that through the UN channel or the other side?
The other side. The main.
Right.
But main arrival.
Okay, but it's not that long journey, or maybe because you're used to be given transport from the plane to where you'll be checked in. Anyway, I understand your experience. So from that day, and then you said that because you had people from the UN come pick you up and all that. So how was it from the airport to where you were checked in?
Yeah, so I was looking around to see the city where we were going to be. And obviously, I checked out on the internet to look at Juba because I knew I was coming to Juba. Uh-huh. So I wasn't so much shocked by the scenery, except that once we entered Tompin, I said, wow, we looked so close to the airport. So that gave me some comfort as well.
Comfort in what now? Yeah, that you were closer to the airport. So in case of anything, you'd
of course, I was
see yourself out.
People had been telling you so many things about Juba, about South Sudan in general. Mm. But yeah, I was in person, and I was just being curious to know if it's different from what people had been telling me before.
Right. So how long have you been here?
I was here from July 20th last year.
I'm sure you know how we greet down here, Sabah Al Khair.
Not too much.
All right, so the response would be Sabah Al Nur, and that is usually for the morning hours. I was just testing because 7 months at least.
I'm used to the.
You should be curious. Say
I'm
what?
Alhamdulillah.
Oh, Alhamdulillah. Okay, that's a good start. No problem. So now tell me, what recollections do you have about your first day as a UNV in South Sudan?
So first day, I think the accommodation was also what was different when I got here.
Mm.
You know, you are put in a transit location in Tompin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but for reception, I got a Ghanaian to also meet me from the UNV office the same day I arrived. So that gave me some
you felt at home,
least.
Yeah?
Somebody from my home
who
introduced me to the areas around Tompin where I could get water, where I could get my groceries, and that alone gave me some relief because you know, once you get here and you get the support, some people show you how life is around here, it gives you some comfort. Yeah,
that's true. And speaking about the fact that you're away from your family and from when I was introducing you, you're a married person with two children. You being separated from your family, and you know the void that it comes with, that feeling of you missing your family, is that affecting you, and how are you managing to handle it?
For me, in the past, I've been traveling a lot from even the previous work that I've done, especially with Pernod Ricard. the Wines and Spirits Company. I used to travel a lot for trainings, for conferences. So they've become used to me being away for some few weeks,
right,
maybe 2-3 weeks. But for months, they started calling to check if I was going to come very
yeah.
soon. I think after 6 months, they are okay now. They understand.
Wow.
That I'll be away for 2 or 3 months before they see me again. But
right.
I'm using the video calls, usually in the evenings when they are back from school.
Mm.
And so we are fine. The family is getting used to it.
Right, I can imagine. So you're away from home 3 months, right? And then you can visit.
Yes,
okay.
Usually 3 months. So far, every 3 months, I try my best to go home.
Right, right. So what best 3 things have you done as a volunteer, if you can remember?
Yes, so for me as a volunteer, when I joined, because of the experience that I have gathered from corporate world, especially for the top multinationals I work with, Pernod Ricard, for Zipline as well, I have tried to help with instituting processes that are making our operations more easier, especially when we get receipts of goods. The process they were using in the TPT warehouse was a little, I think, longer. Now I've been able to introduce a system where we are able to check goods faster than they used to. And for housekeeping, this is critical for us also because we have limited space now. Our wrap holes have been removed. We are now building new case pans. And so we are using limited space for the same goods that they used to keep in a lot of spaces. So it means that we should be able to do frequent inventory checks so we are able to make sure we have the same level of accuracy our inventory so we don't run out of stocks. And so this is something that I have helped them with systems, especially for how we do cycle counts weekly to make sure we are checking inventories in a very smooth manner. And I think this has helped the team. Another thing I would say is that for me, from experience, I know how to build relationship with people. And so this is something that I've also tried to help improve our relationship with our customers. We have internal customers like the light duty and heavy duty workshop staff who come here to pick up stuff to the workshop for repairs. Now, when they come, they tell me clearly that the way we assist them in picking the items from the shelves have improved. Our timelines with them, as in how much time we spend to get the items for them on time, has also improved. And so I think these are things that are positive to the team and that's helping everybody improve their operations here, making us meet our deadlines and KPIs as a team.
Right. Has it been easy?
From the beginning, you know, change is a little difficult, but I have a team that respects each other. I have a line manager who is also very strong. He has experience and he has given me enough support since I joined. And I see that there are tools also. If you request, you are given. So I'm taking the opportunity to ask for as much information and tools that I need. That's in terms of resources. And so in the beginning, it wasn't too easy. But now, over the past 3-4 months, now things are much better than I got here.
Right.
The first time.
Well, seven months into your work here in South Sudan, what survival skills have you acquired that you think could be valuable to anyone aspiring to become a volunteer?
Yes, so I think they need to know where they are going to work. Especially for me, I had to read a lot, watch videos about the terrain, South Sudan, know their culture. Because to work in a new environment, you need to know the people. You need to know your team, know their strengths. And for any weaknesses that you identify also, if you are capable of assisting, I think it helps to let also the team appreciate your effort and then give you that support that you need.
Mm.
And for me, one thing that I have done is to find ways to make myself relax and reduce the stress. Because for here, I will tell you, once you are away from home, it's not the same.
Right.
So for me, I'm engaged in some entertainment activities like I swim during the weekends. I meet a few friends, we chat, just so I can take off some stress. So
right. These
are things that I would advise people should get into. Find something to do. If you enjoy the gym, there are gyms in the locations that you may find yourself, and so you take advantage of. Or you can even take a walk in the evenings, take some jogging also during the weekends, and that can help.
Mm. Right. So how has your life changed serving in your field?
For me, in my life, I think what I have learned a lot in appreciating what I have been enjoying back home in Ghana.
Right. Nicholas, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to hear your story as a UN volunteer. Well, on the program, we have an opportunity to share the same music as you, and would like to hear your first choice of song.
I would say On God by Shatta Wale.
Okay, Shatta Wale, On God it is. We'll be right back.
She's but I no cry. 10 years bury her, but I no die. Take what's rightfully mine. Take what's rightfully mine. But that aside, you no know me, you for cuckoo. I say this head bigger than your duku. Stop on academy, we like to shoot too. One bullet I say chale, it go make you poo poo. On a bicycle, so take your trailer. And I'll be famous like Mali and the Wailers. I know they kiss us, fuck all your favors. Nobody bigger than God, Jehovah. Yeah. You know, go fi show me nothing. Bring cross, I go bring my thoughties. On God, me, I promise. You go be there, your wild the day. Yeah. If you don't know, you for ask, stop rushing. This city, they see me brushing. On God, me, I promise. You go be there, your wild the day. Yeah. 20 million years, you know, fi stop me. I am the news and I'll make you keep talking. How many years you want to flood me? I'm like the air, you know if you catch me. This fucking beat me, I play them. Make a take fuck up some sell out. Then be hungry, things me, I say I'm. I day America, come fight me here now. So you know the sister people love me. You know sister, I they live in luxury. We know all of you, you'll be hungry for this industry. You know, go fi show me nothing. Bring cross, I go bring my thoughties. On God, me, I promise. You go be there, your wild the day. If you don't know, you for ask, stop rushing. This city, they see need brushing. On God, me, I promise. You go be there, your wild the day. Sabotage, then try sabotage. I know be your puppy, don't give me God. Agenda, everyday agenda. $5,000 for just my cigar. All of you know be useless. You know get orthopedic, better change your mattress. Send who you want, send, I go back to them. Check my records, me I know the lose. I know be industry boy. I dey repeat, I know be industry boy. So anything with me I say, I know they watch TV or radio. I say fuck your games. You know go fi show me nothing. Bring horse, I go bring my thoughties. On God, me, I promise. You go be the hour of your day. If you don't know, you for ask, stop rushing. This thing to the sea need brushing. On God, me, I promise. You go be the hour of your day. You know, go be show me nothing. Bring cross, I go bring my thoughties. On God, me, I promise. You go be the hour of your day. If you don't know, you for ask, stop rushing. This thing to the sea need brushing. On God, me, I promise. You will be the hour of the day.
Oh yes, a very good morning. It's a spotlight that you are listening in. And my name is Irene Lasso right here on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace. And we are profiling Nicholas Tamati from Ghana. And Nicholas is currently working in UNMISS. He's serving as a supply chain assistant at the transport warehouse in Juba. He told us about his story the first time he came here. He says, well, he has been to East Africa, but had not come to South Sudan. He had a different feeling at the airport, because South Sudan's airport was less busy compared to the rest of the airport that he experienced in Nairobi and I think in Rwanda. Yes, Nicholas, what is it that attracted you to becoming a UN volunteer?
So personally, I love to help people. From childhood, my parents have been engaged in helping people with foodstuffs to the villages during Christmas, during Easter period. So I have grown to accept that you share what you have. So at the point about 3 years ago, I've been looking out to opportunity to serve in areas where I can bring my expertise from the corporate world, especially for supply chain. And when I went online, I saw the opportunity with UN volunteers. So I said, let me take up this opportunity. And then I was a little skeptical because I was also thinking about safety, where you are going to serve. But I think the goal for me is, how do you help humanity improve lives, bring peace so that we can all flourish in whichever activities that we are engaged in? So that's one good thing, and that's what has given me the drive to join the UNV program, and I'm glad I did.
Right, and we're also glad you did, because you're here serving the communities in South Sudan. So is this your first volunteer job, or have you been, serving as a volunteer even back home?
So this is the first major volunteer job. The others have been maybe supporting people with contributions for philanthropic works, but not major volunteering, yeah.
Right, so what has been your most memorable moment so far in South Sudan as a volunteer?
So far, I went out, I think the last 2 months, we had a service out. I worship with UCAN, the United Christian Assembly of Nations. Yeah. And so there was an activity to help a community in town. I don't know the specific name of the place, but I was part of the team that went out, stepped out to educate people about the operations of the UN. And we discussed a lot of what the UN is doing to improve their lives, especially going into the elections this year. Mm. So that was something that was heartwarming, because it gave me a one-on-one contact with the people that we are serving. You know, for my operations, I'm in the warehouse, so I hardly get the time to go out. And so that was an opportunity for me to speak to the natives of the land and to understand their perceptions about our activities on their land.
Right. And what did you like about that experience particularly?
Particularly, I think it's the relationship. Once they saw that we came with that openness to understand their challenges, they were also glad that we did, and they were free to share with us their needs. For the community we visited, they were talking about the difficulty in getting potable water, and so we're asking if we could support them. So you can see genuinely they are happy of the operations of the UN in their community, and they are open to give us their inputs as in what they think we can do to help them improve their lives.
Right.
And I think that was heartwarming. Yeah.
Okay, right. So about this volunteer job, have you had anybody in your circles who had ever done anything like this before, or you just decided, you know what, let me join the volunteer team?
No, I don't. I've never had anybody close to me. But after I joined, I have assisted someone who has also joined. He's in Ghana. He's doing the national assignment in Ghana. Yes,
right.
And I'm glad he also did. He's happy about it.
That's nice. That's nice. Thank you for encouraging. Nicholas, thank you so much. What's your next song?
My next song is Last Last by Burna Boy.
Okay, Last Last by Burna Boy it is. We'll be right back.
We don't cast, last, last, now everybody go to breakfast.
Shayo. Shayo.
You go power for the result, oh. Nothing to discuss, oh. Cause I think winning by default, and without any doubt, oh. I'm a me, I be a doubt, oh. I no go feed the girl, I no go feed the girl, it's out, oh. I'm a mind that's really dark, oh. I put my life into my job, and I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love, oh. I know holy, and I know that get boss, like the Baba Fryo. Soboma, I dey try to buy moto, one Toyota Corolla. My feelings been they swing like Django Lover. Feelings been they swing like Django Lover. Now you crash your Ferrari for Lekki Bona. Now some money remake could have been all over. My feelings today swing like Django Lover. Feelings today swing like Tip Tip Timbani catch you, at you. Come on, why don't you finish you? Why you say I did nothing for you? When if I do anything you want me to do. If I do anything you want me to do, maybe another time, maybe another life, you will be my wife and we'll get it right.
We don't cast, last, last, now everybody go to your breakfast.
I have to say bye-bye, yo, to the love of my life. My eye, yo, don't cry, yo, I need to go and shout, yo, I need to go and shout, yo.
Oh yes, welcome back. This is the Spotlight on Radio Mariah, the voice of peace. My name is Irene Lasu. Welcome back from the sounds of Banner Boy. Well, we continue with knowing more about Nicholas and, you know, why, what motivates him in his line of duty as a UN volunteer. Well, Nicholas, how does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you, most especially in South Sudan? I mean, like you said, what South Sudan is being portrayed out there is actually different. It's a harsh environment. First of all, the climate is really harsh and hot. I don't know how it is, how the terrain is in Ghana. Is Ghana as hot as South Sudan?
Not as hot as South Sudan. We have parts of Ghana that are hot, mm-hmm. like the north of Ghana, but generally it's a little hotter here. I think it's a much hotter here.
Yeah. Now, putting that into perspective and also, you know, the conflict here and there. So just tell me about how, well, it's a hard place to live in, most especially for people coming outside. But where do you draw your motivation?
I think the mandate of the UN is my motivation, because that's what I look at every time. Mm-hmm. If we are going to work to bring peace, to help protect civilians, then for me there is joy, because you know people are going to be living in conditions where they can go about their daily activities and excel, because fundamentally everybody needs that space to be able to thrive, to run their businesses. School kids need that environment so they can study and develop into whichever aspirations that they have. And so for me, every time I am come back, especially in my accommodation, these are what comes to mind. What are we doing, especially for this year, which is critical, where they are going to elections? I'm always praying about how processes that have been agreed with this agreement between these parties can hold, such that institutions like the electoral commissions can have the resources that they need. They can go out with the authority that they require, so they can deliver on the mandate that we have as United Nations in this country.
Right. So who are the people that have been so influential in your life?
For me, critically, one would be my dad, very influential. When I was younger, I saw how much energy he came to his work with. He is also a supply chain person. He's passed. He's late 2 years ago.
Oh, but so you followed his footsteps?
Yes.
Right.
So he worked with the Ghana Health Service as the medical stores manager in the Eastern region. So I learned a lot from him, and he was entrepreneurial. He's always looking out as in how much more he can make from selling, because he was selling newspapers. He had vendors under him as a business.
Right.
He had shops. So these are things that I picked up from him, that we can also look at how much we can make more economic opportunities for ourselves and not rely on a single income stream. So these are things that I learned from him. And he's God-fearing. He was very God-fearing, taking us to church. And so I learned a lot also from him at that young age to make sure I'm respecting and believing in that same faith, and doing everything I can possible to live right. And I know that with that right mindset, I would attract some positivity to myself also.
That's very beautiful. And may his soul rest in peace. Well, you said that most of your working time is in a warehouse. I don't know if you get the chance to associate with members of the community, do you?
Yes.
Okay, so how then would you describe the relationship that you hold with them at your workplace?
For the workplace, I think the relationship is there's mutual respect, and everybody understands that this is where we are, this is what we've accepted to do. So for my team, we have nationals, we have ICs, the contract staff, and then we have the professionals like my line manager, the chief of the section. And generally, we receive customers from the workshops, and we receive orders also from people in the state. So majority of the time we are communicating, and we are communicating with clarity, because when they are asking for parts, we need to be sure what they need, so we can supply exactly what they are asking for to be able to carry out their operations, to repair these vehicles and to make them operational, to execute the mandate that we have as a family, UN.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And I'm glad that you're able to find common ground and work together there. So you say that you all your career, you've been moving here and there. Your family is used to the fact that, well, you are available, but not physically, okay, at home. So how has your family been able to deal with this, most especially Madame?
Initially, she was used to me traveling frequently because of my previous jobs.
Right.
But when I did discuss with her about the mission, initially she wasn't too understanding. I had to take some time to educate her, to show her more, give her more visibility on the job of the UN. And then she accepted. It was just about, where are you going?
Right.
And specifically, she wanted to know if the place is safe for me. Yes, so I had to be able to. And I did one thing. I checked online. I checked on LinkedIn. I got a Ghanaian who had also worked in the mission in Juba before. And so I spoke directly to him on call with my wife.
Right.
And that gave her some assurance. That's when the agreement came in for me to be able to proceed with this mission.
Right, and it's just normal for her to be worried about you. Right. So, well, looking at everything, the success and you having to walk into your father's footsteps, and with what I sense from what you say, you speak with a lot of pride that you had to walk into your father's footsteps, which is a very good example. So what would you have been if you hadn't become who you are today or at this moment?
Oh, I think I would have been a medical doctor.
Okay.
Surely, yes. I was so good in school, very, very good in school. I was the top in my class,
right,
in Ghana Secondary School in Ghana.
Right.
And so everybody expected me to toe that line. You know, usually, generally, people ask you what you want to become in future.
Right.
And then, yes, but what happened was, I got an interaction with somebody who was an engineer in my third year in the secondary school. He exposed me to engineering, the analytical skills of an engineer. And then I tilted from the medical aspiration to the engineering aspiration.
Right. It must have taken a lot of convincing. How did he convince you? I mean, you were very good in science.
He was an electrical engineer, and I was just appreciating how much work he had done. He had some tools that he had built himself at the time. He was working on some robotics project, and so that called at the time that interest to see him developing something from scratch. And so, and it took time. I will not say it was just one
of course,
topic.
Yes.
I joined the science club also, and he was the leader of the science club in the Eastern region. So I think that communication, constant interaction with him, built that interest in me.
Right. Well, Nicholas, thank you so much. So, meaning when you look back and just assess your life, I mean, you on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you give yourself?
I think I'll give myself 8 for the effort. And I'm saying 8 because most of the things that I set for myself as targets for me, I have been able to achieve majority of them. And what I aspire to become in the near future, I think I'm on course.
Impressive. Yeah. And we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. Yes, Nicholas, what's your next song?
My last song will be Chasing Pepper by Shatawale.
Okay, Chasing Pepper it is. We'll be right back.
It's Basil. I'm steadily chasing my paper. Oh, mommy, I want hammer. Oh, mommy, I want hammer.
I'ma give it everything what me ya own. Kindness and me ya bad to the bone. Bad damn, call me the goat. Mr. Never backing down. We never stop even when we see results. So no, they come up for no less than money call. Nothing where Baba got no go fit to self. They can never see me down. I'm steadily chasing my paper. You see that girl, me no chase. I got my eyes on the price, see you later. Oh, mommy, I want armor. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, mommy, I want armor. Buy big house for me mama. I send me prayer to Jehovah.
I'm steadily chasing my paper. Oh, mommy, I want hammer.
From January to December,
any evil go back to sender.
I'm steadily chasing my paper.
Oh, mommy, I want hammer.
From January to December,
any evil go back to sender.
Any evil go back to sender.
family and girl never run to. 2 for 3 girl in a me condo. Spread the money like Shatta Bando.
Bend on my down, make I see your bumbo.
Me, I just a look for the dollar and pound. I get the gold, so I know they calm down. I just they think I found. I go spend this money when I get a baby, I say shut down.
Steadily chasing my paper. You see that girl, me no chase. I got my eyes on the price, see you later. Oh, mommy, I want my. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, mommy, I want armor. Big, big house for me mama. I saw me pray to Jehovah. I'm steadily chasing my paper. Oh, mommy, I want armor. From January to December. Any evil go back to sender.
I'm steadily chasing my paper. Oh, mommy, I want armor. From January to December. Any evil go back to sender. I'm steadily chasing my paper. Oh, mommy, I want armor. To December, any evil go back to sender. Any evil go back to sender. Any evil go back to sender.
Oh yes, welcome back to the last part of the show. And of course, this is a spotlight happening here on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace. And today our spotlighter is Nicholas Tamati from Ghana. Nicholas is a 39-year-old and married with 2 kids. Nicholas is a trained chemical engineer with a supply chain. He studied the BSc Chemical Engineering, a Bachelor's in Chemical Engineering, read supply chain management, took a course in step changing sales and operations planning, and currently studying a Master's of Business Administration at the University of Suffolk, and that is in the UK. Well, Tamati has a fruitful working experience, as you have heard all through, serving as a production engineer. And right before coming to South Sudan, he was working as the head of logistics in a company in Ghana. Currently, he is with ARNMIS. Nicholas is serving as a supply chain assistant at the transport warehouse in Juba. Yes, Nicholas, every guest on the spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. I don't know if you're a book person, but yeah, let's just take this chance. What book would you like to read in your free time?
I Rich Dad, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yes, 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 yes. Me too, I'd read that book anytime. Right. So, and if you had to pick just one more track on the list that you have shared with us, which song would that be?
I would say City Boy by Burna Boy.
Okay, so what do you like about that song?
I like the vibe.
Okay.
It's about the culture. He's speaking out for him in a way. Is being proud of who you are as a black person in anywhere you find yourself. And so that's what I like about him. And it's just a vibe. For me, I always want to have some positivity around me to attract the same positivity. And so those are the kind of music that I listen to when I'm not at post.
I mean, don't we all want to be surrounded with positivity? Well, Nicholas, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for letting us hear your story. Is there anything you would like the people to know, that is something that I haven't touched and that you would like to talk about? Or it can be a message to the listener.
I think we've touched almost everything.
Right. Nicholas, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Right. Okay, so that concludes our spotlight this Friday. And of course, our spotlighter today has been Nicholas Tamati from Ghana. You have heard about his experience coming here to Juba. Obviously, you would hear most of the guests on the program talk about how the depiction of South Sudan outside is very different from what they find on the ground. Well, his story hasn't been any different. But when he came, the first thing he realized that the Juba National Airport was not as busy as the other airports. Maybe he traveled on a less busy day, or, you know, these things happen. So, yes, that has been Nicholas. And my name is Irene Lasu. Thank you so much for your company. Catch us again next week, next Friday, as we profile another UNV right here on Radio Miraya. And thanks goes to everyone on the team. Well, bye-bye for now.
Hey, yo, I'm not even going to lie. I used to call myself an ugly you, but I'm not even an ugly you. I'm a sexy, you understand? Girl all over the globe wanna act me, you understand?
Girls in my crib, zero Snapchat, zero Instagram, pull swing, fuck up the vibe, my dick start falling like London Bridge. I don't care if I saw you in a magazine or if you're on TV, that one don't mean nothing to me. Don't need a shower, oh baby, I need a freak. Lick it like ice cream, as if you mean to be disgusting. It's not enough, chop my banana. One side I lie, then no stopping up. Go shopping up, fuck that. Me if I go, no, I do. Demo, oh yeah, can Jello, oh yeah, can oh yeah, can oh yeah, can oh yeah, can Mama Sheba, come back on. Make me the start of the paragon. Start of the halagon. Cause you know, say my people, they calagon. Ogulo, my power. As I hate in on us, make me my yammer. You know, I be my father's son. Cause you know, say I come from Potako. I'm a jago. Start to the dance, I'm like I do. Koni to lago. I go show you se bounce and the lago. Cause I be city boy. And as a day for the street, they give me joy. Lamborghini boy. Put them on some Jesus and I'm not religious. Hold on up. Me if I go, no, I go. Oyeke, demo, oyeke, jello, oyeke, jowo, oyeke, oyeke, oyeke.
Hey yo, I'm not even gonna lie. I used to call myself an ugly you, but I'm not even an ugly you. I'm a sexy you, you understand? Girl all over the globe wanna act, you understand?